This evening, I want to share just for a few moments something that God has laid on my heart. I hope it'll be a blessing as we consider what the time we have left and what we will do with it. Matthew chapter number 4 in verse 18, I'll read the text quickly and jump right in. The Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me." I'm thankful tonight that God is calling young people, but I do believe that God can also call professionals. And I think that the work of God needs all types. The Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him." God, would you continue to bless us with your presence this evening? Father, we know that your word is powerful. And may your Holy Spirit use your word to stir our hearts, to implant in our hearts the same compassion that Jesus felt as he looked over the multitudes, and may that be what impulses us to action. Father, I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Missions in regard to the church can be described this way. Missions is the very lifeblood of the church. As the body cannot survive without blood, so the church cannot survive without missions. Without blood, the body dies. Without missions, the church dies. As the physical body becomes weak without sufficient oxygen carrying red blood cells, so the church becomes anemic if it does not express its faith. The church establishes its rationale for being, its purpose for existing, while articulating its faith. An unexpressed faith withers, and a Christian fellowship, a church without missions, loses its vitality. Missions is the force that gives the body of Christ vibrancy, purpose, and direction. And when the church neglects its role as God's agent for missions, it is actually neglecting its own life's blood. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is the whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." The Great Commission still exists for us today as the church, and we must be busy and focused and diligent to carry that out. I want to share three things from the text this evening that I believe will help us to refocus on the Great Commission that God left to His church. In verse number 19, we find the first thing. I believe that we must follow Him. Pastor mentioned this evening that it is important for us to follow Jesus wherever He leads. The Bible says in verse number 19, "And He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Naturally, as we read this passage, the focus is on the men that Jesus was calling, but I believe that the focus should be on the one who is doing the calling. For we must consider who is calling these men. When we consider Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 3, leading up to our passage in chapter number 4, we see Jesus, the one who came in the form of a man, who came to be the Savior of the world, fully God and fully man. He was born of a virgin and conceived of the Holy Ghost. He came to love His worst enemy. He is the light of the world and the hope of all nations. And it is He who was calling the disciples and beckoning them to follow Him. And it is He who is beckoning us this evening to follow Him as well. Luke's account of Jesus calling the first disciples in Luke chapter 5 in verse number 8 describes Peter as he recognized and he considered who was calling him to follow. And the Bible describes a scene where Peter falls to his knees at the feet of Jesus and begins to worship Him. When you consider who is calling us this evening to this wonderful task of reaching the nations around the world, there is no casual response to this call. You either turn and run in rejection to His call, or you bow and worship as Peter did in awe and in reverence of who is calling us to action. One author put it this way, how should you feel about the gospel purpose of Jesus Christ to be glorified among all the nations? You should feel like this cause is the consummation of your significance in life. Many other things are important in life, but this is the largest cause of all. Every follower of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings embraces this purpose and finds the consummation of his reason for living in being a part of this great purpose of God to be glorified among the nations. So I ask you this evening, have you fully considered the worthiness of the one who is calling us to follow? Are you following Him tonight? In order to follow Him wherever and do whatever He asked us to do, there's a second thing that is necessary. For we see in our text not only that Jesus called them to follow Him and that we must follow Him with a full surrender, but we find also that it is necessary to forsake all. The Bible says in verse number 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And in verse number 22, the Bible says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. This call to be Jesus' disciples and to follow Him wherever and do whatever is a costly calling. We must think about what the first disciples had to give up in order to follow Him in obedience and in full surrender. They gave up their comforts, their careers, their possessions, their positions, their family, their safety, and they even had to give up them their own selves. They gave up who they were to become who He would make them to be. Jesus said, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." So as followers of Christ, we must understand that this is not irrational. This call to follow Him and to forsake all is not illogical or unjustifiable, because as I read in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So now, as followers of Christ, willing to forsake all, we no longer prioritize comforts and the certainty in this life. We no longer prize our careers. We no longer live for material pleasures. We could sum it up this way. We forsake all in order to use all for the purpose to reach all. Could I ask you a probing question this evening? Would you pack up what you could to move permanently to a country like Cambodia with a total population of 17.1 million people, with 44 different people groups? 6.4 million of the population is unreached. Would you be willing to do that in order to spread the gospel if Jesus told you to? If not, could I kindly ask the following question? What has convinced you that you have truly forsaken all in order to follow Jesus? In Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, the words of Jesus are recorded when He said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I'm also reminded of a passage in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven and likened it unto a man that went out and found and sold all for great joy. And the Bible says he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And the truth that is in that verse and in that text is that he finally found something that was worth losing everything for. And I ask you this evening, have you found Christ worthy to follow? And if you have, you must understand that he is worthy of forsaking all to follow him. For the cost of following is great, but the cost for not following is far greater. And we as a church must understand that the call to follow is to everyone that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the call is to follow, and in order to follow, we must forsake all. But then in our text, we find the last thing that I think is very, very important. Not only do we follow him and forsake all, but I think one of the most important things is that we must focus on fishing for men. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This idea of fishing for men implies a twofold effort by the follower of Jesus Christ who has chosen to follow and forsake all. It is to go locally and to give globally. We must be driven and motivated to go locally. In 1984, researchers from the Coca-Cola Company had an incredible idea for the biggest marketing opportunity ever. They wanted to put Coca-Cola into space. The company developed a can that would work in space and maintain its fizz, and NASA agreed, and in the following year, Coca-Cola put its product into space. Coca-Cola has had a drive and a determination to go where no other drink has gone in the world. Coca-Cola is the second most understood word in the world, second to the word okay. They claim that their iconic brand is recognized in 90% of the world. And this for Coca-Cola means profit. Something that William Carey, the father of modern missions, said back in 1792 shows how Coca-Cola has managed to reach levels of selling 10,000 Cokes every second around the world. And he said, I quote, "Men can insinuate themselves into the favor of the most barbarous clans and uncultivated tribes for the sake of gain. We as humans are willing to do anything and go anywhere if we know there is gain in it." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And when we realize that it was God in His mercy and His grace who forgave our sin debt, He who justified us, He who sanctified us, He who transformed us, I would submit to you this evening that this should be considered the greatest gain of all. And this should motivate us to go to all the nations. We could say it this way: we now exist for the gain of others and the glory of our Savior, and we are removed from the equation. When we consider this idea of going locally and giving globally, we must understand that this principle applies to every Christian, regardless of where you are found around the world. In Honduras, for 17 years, we have purposed to go locally. We have seen several saved and baptized and joining the local church and now serving and dedicating their life to reaching their own people. But as we are going locally in Honduras, we are also emphasizing the giving globally to missions around the world. And I would submit to you tonight that missionaries are not exempt from this principle. We as missionaries receive the benefit of many sacrificially giving and trusting God, and we should do the same. Our church in Honduras is supporting 15 missionaries around the world because we have seen how God has blessed churches who have filled out a card much like this and have committed to give to missions around the world. And now, in a small church in a little town called Santa Rita, there are individuals who have been saved and joined to the local church who are now filling out a card much like this to reach the world for Christ. Thank you, Lancaster Baptist Church, for having a vision and a heart and trusting our Savior with your finances. William Booth said the following: put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their Father's house and to bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell Him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish His mercy to the world. Will you follow? Will you forsake all? And will you fish for men?